HVAC system can handle. Anything higher can damage the system. I didn't know that. The crew servicing your heater or AC can tell you that.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Also, if your system has a setting that runs the fan, even if the AC or heater is off, think about turning it on so the air constantly recirculates through the filter. I have a variable speed system, so it's, in theory, it's supposed to be always on. I'm not convinced about that, but go on.
Okay, so one thing you might want to do, number four is to open a window.
Yep, always keep your windows closed. No, you always keep your windows closed. Don't do that.
Oh, yeah. You always keep your windows closed. Don't do it. We're going to scold you today. Even a few minutes of fresh air can improve indoor air quality. Opening a window increases airflow, moving a pollution out. Of course, we just told people not to let pollen in, so... But you could have indoor pollution.
Well, I think they address that in the following paragraph. But go on.
Okay. On high ozone days, though, keep windows closed. Check the Air Now website to see current levels in your area. However, if you have seasonal allergies, opening windows means letting pollen inside. Yeah, don't do it when the pollen count's high.
Well, we're coming into May, so that's the green dust season. So you really don't want your windows open in your bedroom to suck all that pollen in, put it on your pillows when you sleep.
Well, everything's been blooming early, so we may be through green dust quicker than you think.
I know, but I really haven't seen any green dust on cars yet, have you?
No, I have not. Yeah. You're much better off keeping things sealed off in the bedroom, where you spend so much time, and usually you're unconscious and breathing deeply, and turning on the air conditioner, says Tanya Elliott, MD, a spokesperson for the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Or the ACAAI.
There you go.
So the other thing I do is in the month of May, because the pollen gets on your hair, and I don't wash my hair before I go to bed. That's not something I do. So I make sure I change the pillowcases a lot more frequently than I change my sheets. I have extra pillowcases. I just, every couple of days, if it's a high pollen day, just boop, new pillowcases.
Fresh pillowcase into the washing machine.
Yep. You burn scented candles in closed rooms. I didn't know all about this, so this was all news to me.
Uh-oh.
They smell good, but scented candles aren't great for air quality.
Mm.
Boo.
Yeah.
I like a good scented candle. That's because anything with a scent contains VOCs, or volatile organic compounds. There are thousands of different VOCs. Some are harmless. Others are pretty bad for you. And there isn't a simple way to tell one from the other, Colin says. If VOC concentrations are high in your house, they can mix with other things in the air and form hazardous chemicals like formaldehyde.
Ooh, I didn't know they could actually form up formaldehyde.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Another downside, many VOCs tend to stay inside, partly because of how well-sealed modern, energy-efficient homes are, and partly due to the vapors clinging to walls and surfaces, then slowly coming off into the air, says Delphine Farmer, PhD, Associate Professor of Chemistry at Colorado State University. If you want to burn a favorite scented candle for a little bit, crack a nearby window.
Ooh, okay.
Unscented candles produce fewer VOCs, so they're not a big problem, but they're also not as pleasant to sniff in the air.
That much is true.
I like the spa smell. You know, you ever go into a nice spa and you smell that eucalyptus and that peppermint?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess there's no harm or minimal. Well, I guess there would be. I guess that would also release VOCs. But taking an unscented candle and you just get like some of that, a drop of that eucalyptus oil, and you just put a little bit on the top of that candle, and then you light it, you know, and burn it properly, and that eucalyptus oil will evaporate into the air.
Very nice.
So you could do that.
Yeah.
You could also make your own diffuser. I don't know. They don't talk about diffusers.
No, they don't.
A lot of people like those little aroma sticks, you know, those things where you got the little thing of oil and the sticks
coming
out. And it
wicks up the sticks and smells up your room.
Yeah, yeah, and I would say a lot of those kits are probably made with also VOC-producing things.
Like petro-type chemicals, I imagine.
With petrochemicals, which are probably more the harmful type. But I've actually managed to make my own, largely because I heard that... lavender oil is virucidal, as well as it's also a mold retardant and a couple other really good things. And so I actually did some searching around on the internet and actually found out how to make my own. I got a small bottle, a small glass bottle that, you know, I kept from the recycling bin. I think you put some neutral oil in there, something like a almond oil might be best, but something just very neutral that you would probably find in your kitchen, like a safflower oil. And then you can add in my case, I added in lavender, which was, just the essential oil. I bought an organic one from the health food store. So I put several drops of that, probably almost a teaspoon's worth in there.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that actually is quite a bit. So you probably just want to put maybe 10, 15 drops in there. And then I added, because I didn't have any reeds. If you have reeds left over from a kit that you haven't used before, you can put those in there. I think you can get little bamboo. I actually had skewers that you would use on the barbecue, the little bamboo disposable skewers. I took those, and I actually cut the spiky part off and stuck those in there, and that will actually allow it to diffuse.
And did it work?
It did, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's you.
It is me. Oh, uh-oh. You're overusing disinfectants.
Yeah, stop doing that.
Yeah. Well, you do need cleaning chemicals, and they say clean chemicals like ammonia, bleach, and hydrogen peroxide disinfect, but can irritate airways. I didn't know peroxide did that. I thought it just released oxygen, so. Try to use them only when you need to disinfect and kill bacteria. Okay. And stick to one cleaner at a time. This prevents chemicals mixing in the air, which can dial up the toxicity.
Oops.
Yeah. See, well, I do, when I'm doing the bathroom, I go through with the bleach and do all the things that need to be done with bleach. And then I throw away, you know, whatever rag that I'm using to do that. And then I get out, when it's time to put the shine on, I get the glass cleaner with the ammonia in it. And that's when I do the mirrors and the stuff that needs to look pretty. And
yeah, because you don't mix the bleach with the ammonia. No, no.
Absolutely. Never do that. And apparently, I do leave the window open while I'm doing this. And just as I just said, open windows in the room you're cleaning and leave after you're done so you're not inhaling fumes while the air clears. Also, try to avoid lemon or pine-scented cleaners. VOCs from these scents are especially reactive with other chemicals in the air. Didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
For general cleaning, consider using a natural product, something homemade with vinegar or good old soapy water.
Mask odors with aerosol sprays. Apparently that's wrong, too.
Oof.
Aerosol sprays quickly cover up icky odors, but beware. They put fine particle matters into the air, which you inhale. If you're not sensitive to essential oils, those are a better option, Shaw says. Lavender and peppermint are usually okay for most people. Add a drop or two to a diffuser or in the bathroom, put a dab on the inside of that toilet paper roll. If you're sensitive to fragrance, choose fragrance-free products, not unscented ones, or crack a window to air out the room. See, they keep saying, crack that window.
Crack the window. Let some air in. And I think it's interesting that they mention the difference between fragrance-free and unscented.
Yes.
Because I'm very, very sensitive. And it's pretty rare to get something that's completely unscented. They don't like want you to know what it would smell like naturally, a lot of these products. So it can be difficult. I like using things that are very basic. So I like using things like vinegar, baking soda. If I need an oil of some sort, a coconut oil, it's just that one thing. And that's how I work around it. But there are companies that are making cleaning products. And there's also books that you can get and probably some internet research. Like I researched air diffusers and found out that, yes, I could indeed craft one of my own and to make the bathroom smell a little bit better and make it a little viricidal for my guests. So you can probably find various recipes. But, you know, use common sense. Again, if somebody tells you to mix bleach and ammonia, back away slowly.
Don't ever do that.
Yeah, don't ever do that. If you are gonna use like straight bleach in your room, in your routine,
right?
You're going to need to dilute that heavily. So I know I mentioned bleach a lot, but it's a little different. That stuff in the jug is a lot different from the stuff in the spritzer bottle that you're supposed to use. So use very small amounts of that. Just like put, you know, like a little tiny bit into a spritzer bottle and then fill the rest with water, because bleach is extremely powerful, especially in modern times. Used to be that when it came in that big old jug,
it was watered down a lot.
It was pretty watered down. These days, it's very concentrated. And it must be my turn.
It is.
You don't ventilate when cooking. Oops.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my hood doesn't do that. It's a recirculating hood. But I don't have a gas stove either. If you have a gas stove with an open flame, it emits carbon monoxide and nitrogen oxides, which are pollutants, Collins says. Although electric stoves and toaster ovens may not have an open flame, they still churn out particles you don't want to breathe in. That's why it's important, especially when I'm cooking, right, Rosalind?
Yes.
That's why it's important to use ventilation while cooking. Check what kind of exhaust fan you have. The most effective type of vent filters the air and shuttles toxins outside. If yours recirculates the air, instead, open a window, which I do sometimes do that. I do have a recirculating one. I also have, I could probably mention this later, but I have the kind of air filter, like the one we have in here, where you plug it in, it has a UV lamp. You can't see the UV light, of right. course, but there's a UV lamp in there, and it has a filter, and it just pulls that through, and that helps to break down odors in the kitchen. So I assume it also breaks down things you can't smell that well.
Wow.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your shower curtain is made of PVC.
That can be of concern.
If you can't install a glass shower door, which is easier to keep clean, consider a shower curtain made with PEVA or PEVA. Is that?
Yeah.
Which functions like vinyl, but with none of the chemical off-gassing that PVC produces. Yeah. Wipe it with a damp cloth, sprayed with a solution including hydrogen peroxide and thyme oil to kill bacteria and mold, says... Yeah, I didn't know that.
Thyme oil, also thyme very oil. Effective. You can put that in your diffuser, too.
Says Leah Sergi... Author of Green Enough, Eat Better, Live Cleaner, Be Happier. One catch, PEVA is made from petrochemicals, so it's not the greenest option, she says. A better, more environmentally friendly choice is a shower curtain made from hemp, cotton, linen, or recycled sailcloth. Pull it closed, unbunched, after each use to help it air dry, and wash it at least monthly.
True. It is fairly easy. It's also, that one's probably particularly important because that PVC is going to get released every time you take a shower because you're putting warm water over top of it. So you're going to be inhaling that while you're in the shower. I've also heard that you can actually absorb some of those chemicals through your skin.
Ew.
So, yeah, a PEVA is definitely a better, a safer option as far as curtains go. Of course, glass is the best, and if you can't do that, you can always try. I like something that keeps the water from splashing out. So, you know, you got to manage your risks.
Right.
You know, it's going to be moist in there. You might not want your hemp or your cotton or your linen curtain getting moist because it's going to harbor Cold. Any kind of mold in there, too.
Exactly.
So it's something that'd be, you know, you want to manage your risk, too. And you don't have a portable air cleaner. Uh-oh. I do. When they first hit the market, standalone air filters got mixed reviews, but they have dramatically improved since then and can be a worthwhile investment. Do your homework to ensure you purchased a good model. The higher the cleaner air delivers, clean air delivery rate, or CADR, on the portable HEPA filter, the better the system, Corsi says. Check that your unit's CADR is certified by the Association of Home Appliance Manufacturers, which also lists how much floor space units can handle. A high-quality air cleaner can be expensive, but they're worthwhile and especially helpful for people who have respiratory conditions, says Douglas Collins, PhD, assistant professor of chemistry at Bucknell University. So, yeah, I do like the portable air cleaners. I used to have one that had a HEPA filter in it. I think they stopped making the HEPA filter, so that. But now I also have the UV lamp ones. And you could also have stuff installed in your home. There's ones that ionize the particles, and then that way they stick together. The very small stuff clumps together, and then it can get caught by your HEPA filter or your filtrate or whatever you have in your system, and will do a better job. So that makes more efficient.
Yeah, well, I had one of those things installed.
The
UV light with the ionization, and I do believe that the air filter, when it came out this spring, which was just a couple of days ago, that it definitely seemed to capture more dust.
Yeah, there was more stuff in it.
There was a lot more dust in my filter. It looked like the filter had been there in a year rather than 6 months.
Wow.
So.
Wow. So perhaps there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
All right. So I hope these tips will, you know, take them under advisement, see what makes sense for you. If you can make your home a little bit cleaner, I think that's so much the better.
Yeah, even if you adopt one thing in that story.
That's true. Well, why don't we take a little bit of a break? Sure. And we'll be back after this.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, looks like we're back here on Random Walk.
Yes, I'm Roz Davis.
I'm Victoria Davis.
And we are on the space case.
We are on the space case this week.
We're spacing out with the keys for space.
Yes.
And once again, we're going to focus on
Mars.
Yeah.
It seems to be a popular topic these
days. It is a very popular topic right now. Well, you got, once again, there's been, I think, two or three more missions of the drone on Mars that's been successful. It's gone. It's flown for over a minute. And so the tests are going well. So that's exciting, actually, that a drone can fly around. I find it machinery is okay for machinery to fly around. I'm not so sure humans should be waltzing around the planet just because of the length of time it gets there. And, well, we'll explain.
We're going to get into it because apparently Elon Musk thinks Mars is killer.
Yes, right. Mars is killer. You might not come back alive. That's what pretty much Elon Musk said. According to CNN Business, there may not be a bigger promoter of the idea that humanity should go to Mars than Elon Musk. But Musk is once again in the news for admitting, though not for the first time, the truth about his dream. A bunch of people will probably die in the process.
Ooh.
Musk made the comments during an interview with XPRIZE founder Pete Diamantis last week, adding about the journey, it's uncomfortable. It's a long journey. You might not come back alive. We won't make anyone go, he added. Volunteers only. Well, I certainly hope they don't, force people to go to Mars.
Okay, let's send prisoners.
Yeah, oh my God. That would
then
be
they'll solve that whole prison overcrowding problem we've been having. Mars.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
The Red Prison. Musk has been talking about his interplanetary ambitions for two decades. The founding mission of his hard-driving and thus far largely successful rocket company, SpaceX, was to eventually create the technology necessary to shuttle humans to and from Mars. I mean, it takes like 2 years to get there.
It does. It takes a while.
The company is currently testing and so far blowing up early unscrewed iterations of a vehicle called Starship that Musk hopes will be capable of the arduous trek, though no one has been injured.
Well, it's good to know nobody's been injured. But I guess it's just blowing up.
It's a starship, though.
It is. It would be a starship.
Which would be a vehicle to take into space and not a rock band from the 80s.
No.
But Musk has frequently talked about the inevitable dangers of his planet for Mars travel, saying at a virtual conference in August that there's a good chance you'll die. He's putting that positive spin on there.
Just thought I'd put it on there, yeah.
And on an early SpaceX mission to Mars, such risk predictions track with historical human spaceflight initiatives. As we all know from history, three astronauts died in a fire during ground testing during NASA's Apollo program last century, and 14 other astronauts were killed during the space shuttle era in the Columbia and Challenger disasters.
Mm.
Musk has previously said, I like how they put it in the last century, like it was so long ago. It was like in my lifetime. It's making me kind of queasy. Musk has previously said he hopes to live one day on Mars, but has not indicated he would be part of any early settlement missions. I guess he wants other people to die before he gets there. Let me, bang out all the kinks.
Then I'll go.
With all those people in the red uniforms. And then I'll go.
It is the red planet for a reason, Rosalind. All those ops crew men.
I don't know. It was always the person in the red uniform on Star Trek that got iced.
Yeah, because they were ops crewmen, and they continue that. Although they had on Voyager, they had an ops crewman that was underdeveloped. All you ever knew was his name. And he was. They really did almost no storylines that had him in it. And he never gets killed in all these dangerous missions. And then three or four episodes before the series finale, he goes on a mission and he gets murdered. It's horrible. That's sad. It was really horrible. No, he's got to be the one.
Did he have a red uniform?
Well, technically, he had gold because they actually switched those.
Oh.
On the original Star Trek, gold was command and red was ops. And I guess, the 80s came along and we decided to choose power colors. So now the captain, the command level people, the captain and such, were red, and then ops got to wear gold.
Who was blue then? What was that?
That's science and medical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. He acknowledged, however, that assembling the crews for the first Mars mission will be like that ad for Shackleton going to the Antarctic. Referring to a newspaper ad that British explorer Ernest Shackleton supposedly placed in the newspaper at the turn of the 19th century when he sought to assemble a crew for the first ever excursion to the Antarctic. Men wanted for a hazardous journey, small wages, bitter, long, cold months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, downfall, honor and recognition in case of success. The purported advertisement, to which Shackleton is said to have received more than 5,000 replies, read, but historians have questioned the legitimacy of the advertisement and its surrounding lore. So did it exist?
I thought they actually had a picture of that, so I don't know. That's interesting.
Let's research that.
We're going to have to research that particular one.
I'm making a note right now.
Yeah, I think that's... Because it's not that long ago that you couldn't find that, but I guess that might have been lost to history. What's interesting, Shackleton made it back alive. I don't know if 100% of the crew made it back alive from that. I know that the whiskey remained buried in the Antarctic and was only recovered a few years ago.
Only a few years ago.
Yeah.
We actually read a story about that.
We did. That was one of our favorite stories that we ever did.
Yeah,
and now they revive the recipe, but I digress.
They revive the recipe. You can go buy it in the store now.
Yeah, but, that much is true. But wouldn't Shackleton be a successful failure, kind of like Apollo 13?
I think you have a point there. Yeah. Well, let's research that for next week's show.
Ooh, maybe we could get a special guest to talk about that.
We might be able to.
Mm-hmm.
SpaceX plans for a Mars settlement bring up numerous technological, political, and ethical questions. One of the most challenging hurdles may also be financial, and SpaceX is still many, many, many years from developing all the technology such a settlement would require. And as you read the story, you start to think about the movie Total Recall, which I guess is close to 30 years old, isn't it? I don't even...
Yeah.
What year Total Recall came out.
Yeah,
it had to be 89, 90? Let me see.
It could have been.
Oh, wait a minute.
What year was Total Recall?
Yeah, I could speak into this, but let's see. Total. Hmm.
And there's been two.
There was a reboot.
Yeah. There was. But the original one is still the best.
Yeah.
It was 1990.
1990, wow.
Yeah, they made the other one in 2012.
Yeah.
Yep. Release date, June 1st, 1990. So we're just coming up on the 31-year anniversary of Total Recall.
Wow. Wow. Well, I hope they don't make build cheap domes and let the kids turn into freaks.
Yeah, I hope
right?
not. No. That would be wrong.
That's a line from Total Recall.
I know it is. I liked Quato.
Yes. Okay. All right. So should we take another break?
Oh, yes. We're doing...
We haven't finished.
Oh, yeah. I was just messing around. So the planet is also an exceedingly lethal place to visit. Humans could be killed by radiation exposure, and the planet's surface is so low in atmospheric pressure that a person's blood would literally boil if they were exposed to the elements.
Wow.
That is crazy. That means settlers would permanently need to live in airtight habitats, not cheap domes.
Right.
Because you wouldn't want your kids to turn into freaks, as you just mentioned.
Right.
And, or in chunky spacesuits to keep them alive. So it's not really practical.
Right. But, a good chunky spacesuit can be very slenderizing.
Right. NASA and others have been, you'd also lose weight, I would think, because you have to carry the chunky spacesuit around. But how does that all work with the gravity that's up there?
Well, the gravity is lighter, though, isn't it? Or no, the air pressure is lighter, but the gravity, I don't know. Yeah.
I thought the gravity is... I don't know.
Heavier? Because it's a bigger planet.
I don't know. It's Mars. I don't know if I really want to visit there. It's like really red. Anyway, NASA and others have been researching possible Mars habitats and survival methods for decades, but there is no clearly defined path forward as of yet. Still, Musk said SpaceX is aggressively moving forward with his plans to develop the necessary rocket technology because he believes that establishing a human settlement on Mars will be crucial for our species' long-term survival. This is where he starts to go off the tracks for me. Last year, he also proposed an aggressive timeline of getting the first crew to the surface by 2026. That's pretty aggressive because it's 2021. So that's
That would be really quick.
5 years from now.
Yeah, and it takes 2 years to get there, so...
That's a stretch goal.
That is a stretch goal.
Should Earth become uninhabitable due to natural or man-made disasters, he says, having a backup planet would be humanity's best chance. Well, it didn't go so well in that George Clooney movie earlier this year.
It really didn't.
So I don't know.
Speaking of people walking on ice...
that was... I don't know how I feel about George Clooney as a director, but that's a whole other topic for another show. As you mentioned, we were thinking about...
trying to do a man in the street interview or a woman on the sidewalk, something like that.
Yeah, that's probably more realistic, the woman on the sidewalk. So you have to call me, correct?
I believe I have to call you. So I'm going to put on some messages and try and dial
you. You don't want to put on like some traveling music?
Traveling music? Huh. Let's see what we've got here on the CD.
I guess Facebook will probably cut this part out then.
It will probably do that, yes.
Do we have any?
Yes, but I have to...
Oh, that's good.
Perfect.
Like that's snappy and peppy.
All right.
I'm going to go out on the street and you're going to call me.
Okay, let's try it. Okie dokie. Let's see what's going on out there. I'm going to push up this phone fader and see what happens. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, let me push it up a little bit harder.
Can you hear me?
I think I can. My headphones are very quiet, though, so I'm going to turn up my headphones so I can hear everything.
All right, so I hope I'm not over-modulating. Am I fine?
You seem to be good. In fact, I think I see some... issues, and I think that that's probably really good. Here, just keep talking. Just tell me.
Oh, you want me to keep talking? Well, it's quite sunny out here.
Okay.
So, hold on a minute. Yeah, it's quite sunny out here, and it's actually very nice. I hope after listening to this, you go out and take a walk.
All right.
So I don't know if I should walk about onto the main street of Flemington, but it's kind of nice here where I am. I don't know if you can see me peeping in the window.
I can see you. I don't know if everybody else can, but at least you can hear me, so that's a good thing.
I can hear you.
All right. Well, it sounds like we've got this tuned pretty well. I think it's going to sound okay. I'm going to go back later tonight and listen to the playback on this and see if the call sounded pretty good.
Just my comment as a woman on the street. Am I still there?
You're still here.
As a woman on the street, I just want to say, hey, go out and enjoy the sunshine today, and it's going to be warm tomorrow. So make sure you enjoy some of that warmth, too.
All right. Well, that sounds great, Rosalind. Thanks for being a woman in the street.
All right. This concludes my report.
All right. Okay. Well, that was Rosalind on the phone lines, and I think it sounded pretty decent. So, hey, I guess our phone system is working well. Let me see if I can put some some walking music back on here. All right. And let's hit play again. Okay. All right, and Rosalind has returned, and I'm going to turn the music on down. Just a down and down and down and down. I don't know how much of Facebook's going to cut that out, but...
Maybe all of it. You won't be able to hear the results of your Man on the Street interview.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. I took the music completely off during your Man in the Street.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, taking a look at tonight's mocktail, I actually had the happy, I wouldn't say it's an accident, but the happy coincidence that I was packing to go off to my day today. I said, oh, why am I carrying this magazine that I picked up at the supermarket with me? And then I just happened to, I think it fell open. And this was in there, and it was a blackberry citrus mocktail. I said, hey, that's today's mocktail, the blackberry citrus mocktail. This looks like it's made for a group. It's actually a four-serving recipe, so you might want to adjust it. But, you know, if you're entertaining or you're just, you know, enjoying a long, lazy afternoon, maybe with one other person, you can have a couple of servings here. You can just put this in a pitcher and enjoy, possibly even lock it in your fridge for a day. So, in the blender of a food, in a blender or food processor, puree a half pint of blackberries. I guess you could get fresh ones. You could probably also get frozen ones. I don't see a problem there. Thaw them out. A half cup of orange juice. 1 tablespoon of lime juice. I'm sure that kind of, you know, makes it more citrusy. And 3 tablespoons of honey if you like it sweet.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. You'll puree those until smooth.
Okay.
Yep. And then you'll strain into a liquid measure cup or a small pitcher, discarding solids. So you're going to want to strain that, get out your sieve, pour it through there. Nothing too fine, but and then just add it to your pitcher. And then you can probably keep it cold in the fridge. It says that you could divide a blackberry mixture evenly among 4 glasses of ice.
Cool.
Yeah. And, you top it with chilled plain seltzer to taste. So there you go.
Interesting.
Yeah. Tip, you can substitute 1.5 cups thawed frozen blackberries for fresh.
So you're right. So it's blackberries and what else besides the lemon? Go ahead.
Yeah. Blackberries,
uh-huh.
Orange juice,
okay.
Lime juice, and honey.
Got it.
So half pint of blackberries or 1.5 cups thawed, frozen ones that have been thawed, 1/2 cup of orange juice, 1 tablespoon of lime juice, 3 tablespoons of honey. For those of you who like sweet, pour it into some glasses of ice and top it up with some seltzer water. It sounds kind of nice. That I think I might be doing that this weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I think we're gonna kind of progress into the calendar section, but it's like an extended play calendar section.
It looks like.
Yeah, so it's got kind of some story-ish copy in there.
All right, well, I'll start.
All right, thank you.
The 100 and Art Tour, known as That, will be held this weekend, Saturday, May 1st, and Sunday, May 2nd. I saw the signs already for it.
Yeah, there's signs throughout the county, and I think a former customer of mine is even on the tour, so that'll be...
Wow.
Yeah.
The 30-stop tour will feature open studios and exhibitions of Hunterdon County artists from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Maps and more information are available at thehunterdonarttour.com. There is a little more on their mission and their vision, according to that website. Cultivates awareness of and builds connections with Hunterdon County's prolific creative community and increases recognition for the county as a vital home for their destination for the arts. The Hunterdon Art Tour, that is devoted to raising the visibility of and building community amongst artists. Did I just read that?
You did. In Hunterdon County, aspires to promote the county as a thriving arts destination by celebrating its substantial and diverse cultural, historic, and agricultural assets.
Wow. In homage to the Great American Road Trip, that curates a county-wide studio tour along many of the region's scenic byways, linking together a mixture of art venues and artist studios as engaging day trips. Through these enriched interactions, that supports a diverse community of artists working in the visual, performing, and literary arts. That open studio tour is envisioned as a signature event through which artists, art educators, cultural leaders, and creative-minded people can find each other, for form peer groups, foster opportunities for collaboration, curate events and exhibitions, and engage youth through the schools. That is strengthening partnerships and forging new connections across the county's 26 municipalities. The tour offers visitors a unique opportunity to interact with artists in an intimate setting located amongst the lands we call home and the beauty that we that many have worked to preserve.
That sounds very nice. So once again, their website is, let me see, it is thehunterdonarttour.com, all together. No punctuation of any kind.
Or that.
Yeah, that.
It's an acronym.
Yeah, so when you're driving around the county, Flemington or any of the other fine towns in our county, you'll probably see the little that signs. They're going to be out for the weekend. And if you go to that website, you can do it. I believe it's free, so you can enjoy.
That's cool.
That is cool. Yeah, so take a look. I guess I'll take the next calendar item.
Sure.
Reddington River Buffalo Farm will host their annual Red Dog Day on Saturday, May 1st from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The farm welcomes you back for walking tours, hay wagon tours. Yeah, walking tours, hay wagon tours, pony rides, food vendors, Kona Ice, kids' crafts, live music and craft vendors, and agricultural agencies that will teach you about conservation, preservation, farming, and waterways. I might want to go to this. The kids' craft will be making paper from recycled sources, which will be free, and assembling small birdhouses and coloring them, and that will cost you $4, probably a materials fee. Parking and admission are both free of the pub, free, and the price list for other activities will be posted before the event. They will also, or they're planning on having a beer in the saloon from Odd Bird Brewing. Beer purchases will benefit New Jersey Agricultural Society, and the ABC permit is still pending on that. For more information, you can go to their website at njbison.co. So that's njbison.co. It's a really good website, and I believe they also do like curbside pickup for their Buffalo products.
Interesting.
Okay. I think they even have recipes on that website, too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, Fred Miller's lecture and song series continues with Judy Garland on Wednesday, May 19th at 2 p.m. Judy Garland was Hollywood's greatest female musical star, a doe-eyed girl with a genius for singing. For 15 years, she was MGM's leading lady. Later, she proved herself to be arguably the world's most electrifying live concert performer.
I never realized that about Judy Garland.
That she was...
Yeah, I always think her as an actress. But that's cool.
The recording of this live virtual concert will be available afterwards, funded by the Friends of Hunterdon County Library. Reservations and information are at hclibrary.us.
That's right. And so we have a few calendar items that we had last week, and I thought we'd revisit them.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. One of the things that I loved last week was that the Acme Screening Room will be reopening their carpool cinema for the season on May 8th. So not this weekend, but next weekend, which is really cool. Fridays and Saturdays, so it'll be held Fridays and Saturdays. You'll check the schedule for starting times. In case of bad weather, they will reschedule for another night. It will be held behind the Spokeworks building at 204 North Union Street in Lambertville, New Jersey. Tickets can be anywhere from $25 to $40 per car, depending on the event. All ticket sales will be online only, so you are going to need to get to their website to do that.
Yeah, no driving up and showing up.
Yeah. Movies this season, The Birdcage will be featured on Saturday, May 8th. Gates open at 7:30. There will be live pre-show entertainment that starts at 8 p.m. with the film to follow. Love, Simon will be on May 15th. Gates open at 7:30 p.m. There will be live pre-show entertainment that starts at 8 p.m. With the film to follow. Abominable, which is an animated movie, it will be held on Friday, May 21st. There will be a cartoon pre-show with the film at 8 p.m. And one of my favorites, it's as old as I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is as old as you. Okay, go on.
Jaws on Saturday, May 22nd. I may have to do that. The live pre-show entertainment starts at 8 p.m. with the film to follow. I shudder to think what that live pre-show entertainment might be. Hopefully it won't be like Sharks in the Delaware River or anything. probably not. Probably be some music or something like that.
Sharknado Delaware River edition.
More details are available at acmescreeningroom.org. That's acmescreeningroom.org.
Well, Comedy in the Village will be held at Peddler's Village in the outdoor event tent on the Red Barn Field on May 28th. Check in at 7 p.m. The show starts at 8. The show will be hosted by Dwayne Dunleavy, a multifaceted Bucks County entertainer who is bringing joy to audiences for over two decades. It will feature Ashley Gertersmith, a New Jersey-based stand-up with an irresistibly positive, high-energy style, focusing on her unusual relationships and life observations, as well as eternal pessimist Zach Hammond and humorist Mike Burton. Tickets are $50 plus tax for a table seating two. And again, you can get more information by going to peddlersvillage.com/event/comedy/052821.
The Sourland Conservancy will be hosting a monthly series of live music shows featuring New Jersey artists. The Sourland Mountain Happy Hour, which has been going on since January, I believe, a series of hour-long live musical performances via Zoom held on the first Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. The fabulous Danny Colvin of DannyColvinRocksOnRadio.com will MC. On the schedule, the May 6th show is As Is Jazz. They are the musical guest. And on June 3rd, which is where they're going to wrap up the season, James Popick and Supernova. Registration is online and only $10 per person. This is a virtual event, by the way. It's all ages per show. And more information is at sourland.org. And I believe they're actually using this to help raise funds because they actually help conserve
the Sourland Mountains.
They do. And they actually, and they usually hold a music festival, and obviously they couldn't do that last year, and it doesn't look real good for this year either. It's kind of hard to plan. So,
there's some fun stuff that you can do over the next several weekends.
That's right. So you can plan your May accordingly.
And we hope that all of the April showers from this month will bring you some May flowers. It looks like things are already blooming out there, so that's kind of cool. I'm looking forward to a nice sunny spring.
That's right. And I myself am wearing my mask here, which also keeps out pollen. So
there you go.
That's one of the up things about wearing the mask is you get to filter out the pollen. So I think we're almost to the end of the show for tonight. But I guess before we head out, I guess we can do wishing a pre-happy birthday to our mother.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Tomorrow's her birthday.
It is. So, happy birthday, Mom. And I think we're going to leave out with some music. So, if you're on Facebook, we're going to probably cut out right now. But thank you all for joining us. And we'll be back next week with more fun and merriment. Have a nice night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. I'm Ross Davis.
I'm Victoria Davis.
Have a nice night.
Have a nice night.
And a good week.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is cheering stunning progress in the fight against the coronavirus in the past 3 months. Speaking at the White House, Biden also saying based on CDC recommendations, fully vaccinated people can go without a mask outside under certain conditions.
Starting today, if you're fully vaccinated and you're outdoors, and not in a big crowd, you no longer need to wear a mask. I want to be absolutely clear. If you're in a crowd, like a stadium or at a conference or a concert.
The FBI is opening a federal civil rights investigation into the police killing of Andrew Brown Jr. in North Carolina. Brown was shot multiple times by deputies who were trying to serve an arrest warrant in Elizabeth City last week. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will soon be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regards to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We're not influenced by big corporations or political parties. Our great passion is to expose the spread of socialism and communism. We cover the Chinese Communist Party and how it works to subvert American education and politics. We cover big issues like election integrity, the exploding national debt, the fight against coronavirus, and the truth about its origins. We cover Democrats and Republicans in exactly the same way. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of our printed paper and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com. Help the Epoch Times keep truth alive.
Some states are getting creative when it comes to enticing folks to get vaccinated.
One state is trying to give its younger residents an incentive to get vaccinated against COVID-19. West Virginia Governor Jim Justice announced Monday that West Virginians aged 16 to 35 who get their shots will receive a $100 savings bond. Justice says that the pace of vaccinations for younger residents was not progressing as fast as he would like, so the state came up with a savings bond as a reward. The program will be funded with money West Virginia received as part of the CARES Act. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Senators are looking into fraud and scams related to the coronavirus outbreak.
There have been 460,000 reports of consumer fraud in the past year, according to the FTC, at a cost of more than $411 million.
Democrat Senator from Connecticut Richard Blumenthal opening a hearing calling it a bonanza for swindlers and con artists. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, and I want to tell you that arthritis is not a genetic thing. It's not a disease of aging. Neither is osteoporosis. Get a hold of my book. It's all in your head. It goes into the 25 different diseases you get when you have osteoporosis of the skull. These are all reversible. You take the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack, the MSM, vitamin D3, stay away from all the bad foods, including gluten, and guess what? You'll regrow all your bones, including your skull and your legs and your hips and everything else. Contact us at usaradiohealth.com. That's usaradiohealth.com.
Dana White is lashing out at the Las Vegas Review-Journal after the paper criticized his COVID-19 safety protocols and went so far as to suggest that fans attending the live sporting event could end up with permanent damage or death. Las Vegas Review-Journal writer Adam Hill, who was covering the event in Jacksonville, marveled at how at least 15,000 people are willing to risk permanent damage or death to attend a live sporting event. While other sports are embracing politics and getting involved, White also tells Fox News that that's not one thing fans of the UFC want to hear or see.
One of the things that I've really tried to do through this whole thing is stay out of politics. When people tune in to watch sports, they don't want to hear that crap. They don't want to hear what your opinions are, or who you're voting for, or what you're doing. They want to get away from everything in their life, and they want to focus on whether, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours, however long the sport is. Throughout this pandemic, when you turned on the UFC, we never talked about COVID. We never talked about politics. We don't muzzle anybody either. So if somebody comes out at the press conference and they want to talk about this or that or whatever it might be, it's their God-given right to do it.
The UFC does have a large footprint in Las Vegas with a large production facility and a 30,000-square-foot training facility as well. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 9.